We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good Minute Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.
All right, welcome back. Another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. Here's Robbie Hummel, and you were golfing today, my sources said. My sources said, First of all, I want to get down to it. How the hell, who is your source, they told me? Because they actually got it right.
So it had to be true. It had to be true then.
Yeah. It was true. Mm-hmm. Completely true.
So Go ahead. It's true that you walked into the gym at the Graduate Bloomington, where we happen to be staying on this game too.
Yes.
And you did one set of bicep curls. You went over and started repping out curls. Got a text, left, and never came back.
True story. True story. I only had a couple minutes. I was heading up to my room. I had
What did you think one set of 10 bicep curls was going to do for you?
No, it was three sets of 10. It was three sets.
I heard one set. No, I heard one set and you were done.
That's inaccurate. It was three sets of 10.
See, I think you're covering your ass. I think you did one set, thought that, ooh, these are feeling pretty good. And then literally left. I think that's what happened.
Who is your source? Who is the rat? Who is the rat?
I feel like
this isn't even a source.
Good journalists do not divulge their sources.
There were only two people in there. One of them was a big dude. That's who it was.
Maybe that's who it was.
Like a strength coach?
No, I don't think so. That's not who the source was. Not a big guy.
So it was a young kid in the corner. There was a young kid. I should have known. Unless you have cameras. Did you have cameras?
I'm everywhere. That's the thing. I'm never think you're pulling one over on me because I'm everywhere, Jeff.
Unbelievable. Well, my sources said you played like shit today on the golf course. Well,
there was wind gusts up to 40 miles an hour. So that was challenging. It was windy as hell in Chicago. I shot 80. First time out. You know, I can live with that. Right. I double bogeyed the last hole, which that's tough to swallow. You know, got to finish. But 80's okay. I can do that. That's the first round.
All right. Anyway, all right. Let's get down to business here. Let's get down to real business here, which you saw a Big East game. Your second Big East game.
Yeah, my second one of the year. Yeah. Second Big East game, yes.
And this looked to be an unbelievable game. I was jealous because you got Creighton Marquette in Omaha. Huge game. Two great teams to watch. They can both score the ball, like a different type of basketball than you've been privy to for the better part of 4 months in the Big Ten, which is a slaughterhouse. Yeah. That's what it looked like comparatively.
Well, it was funny to watch Marquette Creighton in person. And then on the plane home, I had to connect through Atlanta. I couldn't get out and get to Chicago without flying somewhere else first. So I'm watching Purdue Michigan State on the plane. And at one point in the second half, it just hit me like, what is this? Like, what? This is just, I mean, the physicality is off the charts. The fouling. You know, and Edie is, you know, he's hard to officiate. We get that. That's been talked about for years. But it was just a totally different. And look, Marquette and Creighton don't foul. I mean, Creighton fouls the least of anybody in college basketball. And Marquette's pretty good. They're like top 60 in fewest fouls. So they just don't. Really fun game. Disappointing with Kolick. And that's concerning, I think.
Yeah, let's talk about that now. Let's talk about Tyler Kolek. And well, it is the biggest storyline right now.
Let me say this before we get there. I want to give Marquette credit because Noah Gadaro, no Tyler Kolek, and they played their asses off. Yes. And I thought they had so many guys step up and do positive things. Cam Jones is awesome. I mean, awesome. He is a bucket getter, and he can do it at multiple levels. He's great at the rim.
Did you get a chance to talk to Cam Jones at all?
No, it was the early game. Marquette didn't shoot, so I didn't get to.
He's our fashion correspondent on the field.
Oh, of course. Well, he needs to help you for being honest.
He motivated me. He motivated me right away.
Well, he needs to. You need all the help you can get.
Yeah.
But think about this. Think about the job that Shaka Smart has done to get this team to 22-7 and 13-5 when you've now had Kolek has now missed time and is going to, I think, miss more time. Hopefully he can play against UConn, but I would be surprised, I think. You don't have Osa Iguodaro in that game. Sean Jones out for the season with an ACL. Stevie Mitchell's missed time with a hamstring injury. Chase Ross missed time with a shoulder injury. I mean, it's just like,
yes,
they've been devastated by injuries, and he's just kind of plug and played, and their sophomores played really well. I thought I like Ben Gold, man. He's going to be good.
That dude's
got some ability.
Yep.
Chase Ross played well, and Zay Lowry gave him good minutes. So they fought and they just ran out of gas. And yep. Creighton's one of the more fun teams to watch in college basketball. Greg McDermott's offense is great. Shireman's really, really good. I love Trey Alexander. It was interesting. Mike Dunleavy Jr. was at the game, and I talked to him before just to kind of hear his perspective from an NBA standpoint of all those guys. And he was obviously bummed because
no Kolek,
the guys that were not playing for Marquette. But yeah, fun game. And we can now get to the Kolek stuff.
Well, first, before we do that, did you see we have now deemed the Baylor Shireman miss dunk as the Hummel?
I saw it, dude. You guys are idiots. I'm about to post a montage of all my greatest slams in college and put it to just
That'll take about 8 seconds.
And put it to the Space Jam theme song. That's what I'm going to do. It starts like, come on.
I want to know how many dunks.
The jam.
You should be able to count.
At least 15 dunks in college.
You think it was 15? Over under was about 15?
I think that's a good number, yeah.
All right. That's not bad.
And then you look at some of these notes and it's like, Ryan Kalkbrenner has 240 dunks and now he's 7-1, like he should, but
All right, so we'll start with Kolek because you just said it. And again, listen, here's the deal with Kolek. Nobody's tougher than Tyler Kolek. Honestly, in the country, there are very few that are tougher than Kolek. He played earlier this year on an ankle that was completely screwed up.
Illinois game.
Correct. Yep. For him not to play and not to travel, it's significant. Tyler Kolek.
Well, it sounds like it's an injury that is not common in basketball players. It's like a golfer, baseball, like, and obliques back and core are weird because when they're working well, you never even think about them. And then, you hurt it and you're like, man, I can't even sit up. I can't lay down. I can't, it's very strange. And, with the amount of times that he's snapping passes across his body, the weird thing is that if you watch the injury, the play, it's a pretty routine pass. That's what's so weird about those injuries. It's like, man, he's probably done that a million times,
right,
where he's passed in that manner. But I think, and I can speak on this well, for the late February injuries, you think about Kenyon Martin, you think about, I think about Orenze Onowaku at Syracuse and the way that Syracuse played that about as well as you could, like you're not that you're encouraging schools to lie, but if it was to come out where, all right, Kolek won't be back until maybe he'll miss the rest of the year or you won't be back until the second weekend at least. Now, all of a sudden, you're worrying about if you lose some games, are you going to get dinged a seed line or two or three? Because that would be a huge loss. I feel like for their last two games, I know he wants to play against Connecticut, considering what happened on February 17th. Like that had to burn him.
But that's game to bring him back for, too, Rob.
But it's also, it's a quad one game. If you lose... If you win, of course, it helps you.
Yeah.
If you lose, it really isn't. It's not a big deal.
Nope.
At Xavier on March 9th, that's going to be quad one as well. You know, that's probably a quad one game. If there is any doubt, you would think that you'd want to say, if you're Marquette, we need to at least rest him till the Big East tournament. And if he can go there, now you're starting to talk about showing the committee that he can be healthy. But I don't feel like you really gain much by playing, which is really disappointing as a college basketball fan. Right. Now, if he's healthy, then fine. But I'm assuming that he is not. And this is not one of those things where if you tough it out and you could re-injure yourself, that's got to be taken into account. The bigger picture has to be taken into account.
Rob, again, if he was healthy, he would have made the trip.
No question.
I mean, if he was at like 90%, he would have flown with them and made the trip and sat there. But because obviously you're not putting him on a flight because he's uncomfortable. He's hurt. He's uncomfortable.
And if you know he's not going to play, you're thinking, well, we can keep him back with the athletic trainers. He can do treatment. I don't know what treatment is for an oblique. I don't know. I guess it's probably rest.
Yeah, a lot of rest.
The rest and time. Yeah. But that's time is not something that we have a lot of as we are, 6 weeks away from the end of the season?
Yeah, to me, this is the ultimate no-brainer. You don't let him play against UConn or Xavier.
Agreed.
You don't let him play. You get him as close to 100% because ultimately you saw last year you made an early exit in the NCAA tournament, and that's what mattered. You've had another great regular season.
Do you think it matters for him to play in the Big East tournament?
No. No.
Even that?
I would say because he's played so long and they know how to play with Tyler Kolek.
No, that's true. I was thinking more of like – if he is, but I don't know how you gauge this, that he is no longer at risk of re-aggravating or, you know, like that.
I feel like it's a hammy. I feel like it's a little bit maybe like a hammy where you don't know.
Dude, you don't know that.
I don't know, but I'm thinking an oblique. I'm thinking it might feel better. It might feel better until you go out there and you do something.
This will be for later in the pod. I'm texting my athletic training buddy. Is an oblique injury similar to a hamstring injury? And we'll get clarification here.
All right. Can you text him right now?
I'm texting him right now. We'll come back to it later, but yeah.
You think this guy's actually going to get back to you quickly? Does anybody get back to you quickly?
No, this is my boy. He was our athletic trainer at Purdue.
We'll see. You find out the answer. I'm dying to know, but I'm not saying it's like it in a sense of like
this is going to be a great this is going to be a great explanation. Please go.
I need to explain the fact that again you think you're healthy.
You're saying that you can re-injure it. You can re-aggravate it.
Correct. You don't know you're 100% with both those injuries.
Yeah, the hammy is always the nagging thing. Correct. All right, I'll preface it with
thank you in the sense that it can be nagging. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today.
But I do feel like if you could get him another full week, which you're getting him, right? The Big East tournament to the NCAA tournament, that's another full week, Rob, that you're getting him. Like, I don't know. I just say if he's not at 100 by the time the Big East tournament starts, and I know he wants to play in it just as much as he wants. But again, you want to play in it and re-injure it again?
No, the NCAA tournament has to be the focus. Right. It has to be where your mind goes. I've got to be ready for that. And I'm sure for Marquette, you know, they are a team that feels like they have unfinished business from last year.
100%.
So that's got to be where his mindset is. And as a competitor, I'm sure that's really hard because he, you know, I know that people kind of hate on the conference tournaments, especially for the Power Five schools. But I'm telling you, man, when you win that and it's a single elimination tournament against good teams, which the Big East has good teams, man, it's an awesome feeling. And it's a really fun run that you can go on in 3 days. And I'm so interested, and this is more for the Big Ten because they have the Sunday late window leading into the selection show, and I know a lot of the coaches don't like it, but the conference likes the fact that, hey, this rates well. Our TV partner of CBS likes it a lot. And the league has talked about how they have done all these studies and looked at the win percentage versus the losing percentage of teams that win the Big Ten tournament and play in that last game. And what they do, like Iowa is a great example from 2 years ago where they beat Purdue in the Big Ten tournament final, and then they lost in the first weekend. And it turns out they did not feel like it had a direct correlation. Now the coaches that have lost would be like, bullshit. You know, like there definitely is a correlation. They would feel strongly about that. But there is something to be said for players when you win that thing, man, it's pretty cool. So I get that he'll be bummed to miss out on that, especially because it's probably his last go around, I would think. But he's got to look at the NCAA tournament big picture.
Yeah. And again, with a healthy Kolek and Oso, you know, I don't know if they can win the whole thing, but they can make a Final Four run. They could absolutely make. And again,
I think both those teams could. I think Creighton and Marquette. If so they made the Final Four, I wouldn't be surprised.
So two things on Creighton. Number one, are you convinced after watching them? I mean, Farabella had a really good game. They're deep enough. Are they deep enough?
I think that depth is a little bit overrated as long as you're healthy in the tournament. Yeah. It matters across the course of the regular season because it's such a grind. But this is, you're playing what? Six games to win the whole thing. Like it's, really not that taxing compared to what you've been through.
So then you think Kansas can win it? You think Kansas can win it? No, you don't.
Not without McCullough.
Well, he played. He played.
I know,
he
but I'm just saying. If McCullough is injured, then no, I don't. But if they
say he's healthy,
I don't know if they can win it, because I don't think that they necessarily have the firepower that UConn, Purdue, or Houston has. But I think they could make the Final Four if they're legitimately healthy.
So you have more confidence in Creighton than you do in Kansas winning the whole, like getting the Final Four and winning the whole thing. If I had to say who you're taking, Creighton or Kansas, they're both thin.
Yeah.
You like Creighton better.
I'm kind of like even. I'm like right there with both of them. Yes, I can.
No, you can't be even. They're two different teams. You have to pick one.
I have to, huh?
Yes.
All right. I'll go with Creighton. Yeah. Okay. Well, I love their offense.
Yeah.
Their offense is so explosive and their guard play is really good.
Yeah.
Like I look at Kansas's guard play and DeJuan Harris is a good player. He's a winning player, but he's not striking fear in the heart on the scouting report, right? McCullough, what's McCullough shooting from three, by the way?
So since Big 12 play, I think it's like 32%.
So he's kind of regressed from his.
Didn't I tell you this? Start. Didn't I tell you this?
Well, he's been injured.
Go ahead. Just say it. Go, hey, Jeff, you were right about this one. Because you point out everyone I'm wrong about. Everyone.
Well, you've been wrong a lot. That's the scary thing about
St. Mary's
podcast.
Was back until last night.
They got whooped last night. I saw that was.
They did.
No, I thought he was, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup. That's probably why. That's messed his rhythm up. No, I love the fact that, like, with Shireman, Trey Alexander, I mean, Stephen Ashworth can make shots for sure. I love Trey Alexander, and I think Baylor Shireman is a great, great player. So I think both those guys, you know, Mason Miller has kind of been up and down for them at the four. Kalkbrenner plays his role really well. I really like Shireman and Alexander. And with Alexander, he can get his pull up is so good, and he can get it when he wants it. You know, and Shireman running off those screens, he can play off closeouts. Yeah, I think I like Creighton better than Kansas for that run
of the Final Four. Kalkbrenner the best defensive big man in the country?
Yes. His verticality challenges should be like
what we
put in the dictionary. Yes. He's not just vertical. Yeah. He's like negative. Like his arms are somehow going behind his head.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Every time. I know.
He is phenomenal. And like the way that they got UConn of kind of funneling guys to him, running him off the 3-point line. That's high level stuff, man. They're not bad defensively. Like we think Creighton, we think all offense. They're a top 25 defense.
But so much of that is based on Kalkbrenner.
Totally. But when you've got it, use it.
I agree.
Funnel guys to him and he doesn't foul. And they're really light behind him. I mean, you talk about Jason Green playing I think Jason Green's like 6'7".
Yeah.
I guess you could go Trout, but Isaac Trout is more of a stretch big.
Right.
He's looking to shoot. You know, that's what he wants to do.
I just think, Rob, like, I don't think we place enough emphasis on defense. And most people would say, hey, Baylor Shireman's their best player. And you look at the offensive numbers, and they are. Like, he's been incredible.
Well, and he rebounds, too. He's a great rebounder. And he moves the ball. You know, he's unselfish.
Don't get me wrong. I love Shireman. I think he's one of the top 20 players in the country, too. But people are going to omit Kalkbrenner because he doesn't put up crazy offensive numbers. But, like, his worth and value on both ends of the court, but especially on the defensive end, is unlike nobody else's because, again, you're surrounding him with average defensive players.
Think about picking the Big East Defensive Player of the Year. That's going to be – I don't envy that.
Yes.
But also, Kalkbrenner, his last two games he's 19 of 22 from the field. He was 10 for 10 against Seton Hall and 9 of 12 against Marquette.
He never complains. He never says a word. He just does exactly what you ask him to do. I think Ron Kalkbrenner is just like so underrated.
No, I know
we value him defensively, most people, but
he is the two-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year. Where are you going? Where would you go for that? For Big East Defensive Player of the Year, you got probably Devin Carter in that mix.
Yeah.
Kalkbrenner's in that mix. Stevie Mitchell has gotten thrown into that ring.
Yeah. You would have put Kling in if he wasn't hurt.
He's just been injured a lot, yeah.
Right. I would go Kalkbrenner for me.
Three straight?
I would, yeah. He's that good. again, just what
I
he
feel
does.
Like all three of those candidates are pretty good.
They're awesome
in their own respective ways. They're different, but they're very good players.
I just think, again, what you ask Kalkbrenner to do on that team is unlike what anybody else has to shoulder over the course of the season. That's what I would say. All right. I'm gonna ask you a really tough question. Okay. Ohio State is now, I believe, 5-1. 5-1 under Jake Diebler.
I think they're 4-1.
I think it was 4-1. 4-1, but they've beaten Purdue. Yeah. They've won at the Breslin Center. They smacked the shit out of Michigan today, which, again, everybody kind of smacks Michigan these days. But, you know, since firing Chris Holtmann, Jake Diebler has taken over an interim basis and absolutely crushed it.
Did you say they beat Nebraska, too?
Nebraska. Thank you. Nebraska. Thank you. So I had somebody in a group chat earlier today say, Jake Diebler should get the job, should get the permanent job at Ohio State. What say you?
I mean, I am a big fan of Jake. I have been since high school because he played at Valpo and we'd go up and play open gym.
Yeah.
The fact that he's got this team 4-1 and guarding the way, I mean, you look at the, it's not like they've all of a sudden got hot from three. Like something has been different within this team of the way they guard. And I guess that's not totally fair because the loss at Wisconsin, they only gave up 62. So that was Holtmann's last game. Yeah. But you hold Purdue to 69. The Minnesota game, they couldn't get a rebound. The defensive glass really hurt them. So they gave up 88. And Minnesota can score. Like Minnesota's pretty explosive offensively. They hung 97 on Illinois, although Illinois' defense has fallen off the cliff. Michigan State gets 57. Nebraska scores 69. And Michigan State scores 61. So their defense has been awesome in this stretch here. You know, I think that if Jake were to make the NCAA tournament, I think this is a different discussion. And that would probably require them to beat Rutgers on the road, which will be a tough game on senior day in Piscataway on Sunday.
Yep.
And then they'd probably have to win two or three in the Big Ten tournament. They'll play Wednesday. You obviously can't lose that game because that could be a bad loss. Do you have to get to the semis again? They did last year. Or is it to the quarter?
I mean, maybe not these days. I mean,
I don't know. The bubble seems to be awful, and everyone is just losing all over it. So they're 18-12 right now. Let's say they beat Rutgers. That would make them 19-12 to finish the regular season. If you win Wednesday and Thursday, you're 21-12 with wins over Purdue, at Michigan State, a neutral site win over Alabama, and no quad three or four losses.
Kind of bananas. So
it's actually wild. It really is, because they lost, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They lost 8 of 9 games from January 6th to February 6th. They won one game in a month, and now we're talking about them like they could. If Jake makes the tournament, I think – you would have to, right? Like,
and what you, like,
Texas, but I do think, regardless, before you go, I think that Jake Diebler has coached his way into getting a head job somewhere,
100%.
Which is great. And he totally deserves that. He's done a great job.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There is nothing in sports better than the heart of the college basketball season, which is why I need to tell you guys about our partners over at Rhythm. If you're into sports betting, you need Rhythm, the place for data-backed props and picks. For those that are unfamiliar, Rhythm, spelled R-I-T-H-M-M, is the go-to mobile app for player props and game picks. Backed by AI predictive models, Rhythm helps you make smarter and faster betting decisions across all sports, but particularly college hoops, where there are as many as 150 games a day during conference play, many of which have softer lines at BetMGM than you'll find in the NFL or the NBA. With Rhythm, you get data-backed picks for every Division I game every day. Users get free picks daily with the ability to upgrade to unlimited access. And for those of you already using modeling, you can build custom sports betting models within the Rhythm app itself. I am a Rhythm user, and I found that I've been a better bettor when I focus on lines where my gut and Rhythm's modeling are aligned. When I think UConn can cover on the road against Butler and Rhythm backs that up, we fire. But Rhythm also helps lead you to plays that you didn't know you needed to make. Like, for example, when the data says bet the over in UMass Lowell versus New Hampshire because you have a 61% edge on that line, you bet the over and you bink. So if you want to increase your edge and win more bets, go to the link in the description below and download Rhythm today. That's R-I-T-H-M-M, the place for data-backed props and picks.
So their KenPom number is 53 after today's win.
What's their net? That's
if you run off three more. You know, you're gonna move up from that 53. Their net is,
yeah, I'm pulling it up right here.
60.
That's a little low.
Yeah, no, they gotta win. But again, if you're telling me they're gonna win three more games,
The
next four, I'll say they're gonna move from 60 to 50. So here's what I would do. If they go to the tournament, and I'll give you some insight into what I think is happening at Ohio State anyway with new AD Ross Bjork. If they go to the tournament, sure, it makes it hard for Ross Bjork, especially if he doesn't have his guy, right? If he doesn't have his guy and Jake Diebler goes to the tournament, you say to him, hey, Jake, here's the deal. I'm going to give you a one-year deal next year, or I'll give you a four-year deal with a very, very low buyout, like nothing. The buyout is nothing. I'm going to give you another chance. But ultimately, if you don't go to the tournament next year, we're going to bring in somebody new. If you prove over the course of a season you can do it, then we'll give you a long-term deal. That would be the only way I would give Jake Diebler the job. Because, again, he's done it for a short period of time. And, oh, by the way, he was an assistant coach on a team that the head coach got fired.
Yeah. So, I just have you seen this Big Ten tournament simulator? I don't know who made this, but this thing is awesome. So you can – I basically picked Ohio
State. Is this Andy Katz?
No, it's like it's a website.
I thought Katz made it with every team getting into the NCAA tournament.
No. This is just to simulate the seeding in the Big Ten tournament.
Okay.
So I picked Ohio State to win out, and I just let it pick the favorites to win the rest of the games. And with them winning out and the favorites winning, that puts Ohio State as a 9 seed. So they wouldn't play on Wednesday, which I don't know if that's necessarily good. I would think that. But I guess if you're playing like Indiana or Rutgers, it probably isn't moving the needle anyway. And if you lose, it doesn't matter for them. Yeah. But it takes away another opportunity for a not great loss. But it would have them as the 9 seed playing Minnesota, who's the 8. And if they could win playing Purdue, which that does move the needle.
Sure.
So that would be interesting. Right.
You'd have that game. Honestly almost have that game as your championship.
And then you would play in the semis against probably the winner of Northwestern and Wisconsin, both quad one games too. So that does set up for them to make this interesting, though. It does.
I mean, you just want to see them get to a point where they're playing a game that, again, would have a lot on the table.
And I gotta cite my work here. This website is http://bball.notnothing.net/.
You don't have to read http. You don't have to start with that.
Well, it said that was the website name.
So. You don't have to start. Okay. All right. Ohio State. You want me to tell you what I'm hearing?
Sure.
So again, this is just something that nothing's done yet. I think Ross Bjork's just doing his due diligence as much as he can right now. A lot of people think Sean Miller's involved at Xavier. I've been told he's not at the top of their list. I think the guy who's going to get it, because Greg McDermott's going to end up staying in Creighton unless this thing falls apart. Unless it falls apart, which they're not that far apart numbers-wise right now. They're not that far apart. So I would be shocked if it doesn't get done. I don't think McDermott wants to leave. I just think it's been tough for him because, again, his guy was the AD for so long and Bruce Rasmussen.
Right.
Now he's dealing with Marcus Blossom, new AD, you know, trying to kind of, you know, set his mark there a little bit. And, you know, Max, the guy there, he's the guy there. So, you know, ultimately, I think he stays at Creighton. And I think the next coach at Ohio State is Dusty May. That's who I believe it will be at the end of the day. I think Dusty May from FAU.
What do you think? So
I do.
If Indiana gets like wind of that, what does that change things for them?
I don't think so. I don't think they can move on from Mike Woodson this year unless Mike Woodson is ready, which I don't think he's. I don't think.
No, I don't. I think he fully. It seems like from talking to him that he is fully.
And they just won two good games.
They have. Yeah, they have. Right.
They beat Wisconsin. They beat Maryland in College Park. Two decent wins. And you finish with a little momentum. You feel a little bit better about yourself. I don't think Woodson's going anywhere. I wrote that the other day. I think he's going to get one more year unless, again, he's the one who initiates stepping down.
I just feel like, wow, that would be hard for Indiana's fan base to swallow, I feel like.
Well,
because they look at him as one of their own.
Yes. And again, to me, I feel like Dusty May is an upgrade to Mike Woodson. But I also understand the thought process of Mike Woodson's one of your own. He went to the tournament his first 2 years. They've been pretty bad.
No, I get that too. I mean, I think it's a very complicated situation. It's been made easier probably by the way that they've played better. You know, they've won their last two. Compared to if they had lost out. And then you're like, man, what is happening? But it's not – I mean, Mike Woodson was an unbelievable player at Indiana and coached in the NBA. There's only 30 NBA jobs. Like, it's not many guys on this planet that are walking around that have been like, yeah, I've been the head coach for an NBA team.
Yeah, that just doesn't mean you're a good college coach.
No, and I'm not saying that those two things equate. I'm just saying that when Indiana people look at him, they think of him with the utmost respect for his playing career and the fact that he was an NBA coach.
Older people do in Assembly Hall, as you saw.
No, and I don't think the younger people understand, but they also, they know that he was a really good player there. Sure. Indiana fans that are young know that he was a good player at IU. They're not unaware to that.
Here's what I'll say about the Dusty May situation. Okay, so Dusty May's not a guy who loves the limelight.
Didn't he sign a 10-year deal or like a long-term?
The buyout's nothing. But the buyout's nothing. Just like it is with Pat Kelsey at Charleston. They're buyouts that easily Ohio State could write a check for in a second. You know, $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is.
Why don't those small – I mean, I guess Dusty May wouldn't have agreed to the deal.
Right.
That's the reason why.
He had the leverage. Rob, he had the leverage. So you could sign a 50-year – you know, these stupid lifetime deals, Calipari. They're never lifetime deals because it's about the buyout. Now, Calipari's buyout is $33 million after this year. But – Dusty May could sign a 50-year contract, but the buyout's $1 million. That's all they got to pay. So the buyout is what really matters ultimately. So Dusty May is movable, and I think he fits better talking to a lot of people at Ohio State because, again, he's football not a team. Guy that wants the fishbowl. Right. And in a way, you want to go to Indiana. Now, you can be the hero. You could absolutely be the hero. Or you can be the guy that, again, your family's kind of from around there. They live around there. Do you want to deal with it if things don't go well? Because Mike Woodson's dealing with that right now, right? Yeah.
Well, and it's very complicated for guys that are like Mike Woodson is beloved by their fan base. And then look at what Juwan Howard's dealing with. I mean, he's beloved by the Michigan fan base.
And they're killing him.
And they want to fire him. You know,
correct.
Like that's very challenging for former players.
Really hard, really hard. So that's the deal to Ohio State. I'll give you a quick update on what I think maybe will happen at Louisville. So I actually think Dusty could be number one at Louisville and Ohio State at the end of the day. I think he might have his choice of both.
Well, that would be a leverage play.
Yeah. No, I think there's a scenario. And I think he fits better at Ohio State, again, because I think, you know, Ohio State's a job where, again, it's a football job. You have all the resources, but you're not front and center. You're not going out in Columbus and everybody mobbing you because they're busy mobbing the football coach.
They're doing that to Ryan Day, yeah.
Correct. Well, they may be mobbing him differently next year if he doesn't beat Michigan. But if he goes to Louisville, it's a different deal, right? Like everywhere you go, you're still the guy in Louisville. Everybody, you know, there's more pressure, more expectations. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think Louisville is going to, number one, pay a buyout for a Nate Oates, a TJ Otzelberger, a Mick Cronin. Cronin's like $16 million. Otzelberger's like $14 million. Nate Oates drops down, I think, to $10 million. Like, I don't think Louisville's going to pay any of those, number one. Number two, I don't think they're going to take somebody based on what has happened at that school and that program over the last however many years with Rick Pitino in several instances. I don't think they're going to roll the dice on somebody who's been through something, whether it's legit or not. And that means Sean Miller, Chris Beard, even Eric Musselman to some extent because of his reputation of being like tough to work with. I think he might fit into that a little bit. We'll see. He's somebody I haven't ruled out, but I think, again, they're going to do their due diligence on him. So I think you're going to come down to some of these guys because Scott Drew's not going to take this job. I don't think.
I don't know why he would ever leave, honestly. I
mean, he probably won't because, again, he fits in Waco. The only way he would is if Louisville goes to him with some insane deal and
like, we'll Baylor's – $7 million a year or something like that.
Yeah, we can't touch that. Right. Yeah. We're $2 million off a year.
What about Bruce Pearl? Is he in these conversations?
I don't think so. I don't know. When you were in Bloomington, I don't know if you got asked that question, but I was asked.
Well, I've heard his name a lot about the Indiana. There's not even an opening, but just the Indiana future.
Yes. And a lot.
Because of his, I assume, Southern Indiana connections and, you know,
Midwest ties, all that. I mean, Bruce could win anywhere. I'm convinced you could put Bruce anywhere in the country, and I really think he would rally the fan base and win ballgames. I don't know if he leaves, Rob, at the end of the day until he knows his son, Steven, could be the head coach at Auburn. How's that? I think this will be something where somebody goes after him, and – he gets it in written into the contract at Auburn that when he does retire or leave, Stephen Pearl's the next head coach.
That's wild because I played against Stephen in college. So
I killed him. I get along with Stephen really well now. I crushed him. It was early Twitter days, I think, when Bruce started playing him in like key spots, and I killed
him. Well, that's because everybody got kicked off their team. They had that gun thing with Brian Williams and Tyler Smith.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Those guys all got kicked off the team. So they probably had to play
big minutes. He did. He played big minutes, but he was tough. He's done a great job. They've done an incredible job at Auburn. I mean, think of how shitty that job was when he took it. So, you know, Bruce has a decent sized buyout as well. I just don't know if he leaves Auburn because I think he fits Auburn well. He's got it humming. He's got pretty good NIL. Yeah. They win. Now, again, could he go somewhere where he's like, you know what? Louisville, the end of the day, that's one that, again, is a top 10 job in the country.
Right.
Which it is. I mean, Louisville has everything that made it a top 10 job and should be able to make it a top 10 job again. Right.
Facilities are phenomenal. NIL is good. I would assume they've got money to spend on that.
Right. Right. Yeah. So my guess is Louisville and Louisville fans aren't going to want to hear this unless they kind of find somebody that's unhappy, a high major guy who's very unhappy at their current spot. I could see them going, you know, again, trying to get a Dusty May, trying to, you know, I'm trying to even think who it is. You know, somebody that's not going to be overwhelming, somebody that's not going to blow you away. And I'm not sure again who that is right now. A Nico Medved,
I'm sure Louisville is swinging for the big dogs, right?
Of
like
course.
That would not be.
That's what I'm saying. Like Nico Medved, Porter Moser, guys of that ilk are not going to blow people away at Louisville. Now, again, if I'm Louisville, I'm looking at who takes the program to at least the respectability level. Gets me closer. You know, like, make sure you get a guy who can coach, who knows how to run a program, who can get me to where I'm getting back into the NCAA tournament. Am I winning a Final Four in the next 4 or 5 years? Probably not. But, like, he may be the stepping stone guy even. He may be the guy to get me back to respectability to then where I can hire a dude on the next one. Right? Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So, again, I think Dusty May, even though a lot of people have cooled on him, I have not, because right now they're on the bubble at FAU. Still, if you told somebody they'd be on the bubble, then they'd have a chance to make the NCAA tournament 2 straight years and go to the Final Four, one of them, at FAU, which is a brutally difficult job, maybe the worst job in the league in a lot of ways, they would say you're absolutely bananas. All right.
I've got an update on the oblique.
All right. Give me the update in the oblique. Go ahead. All
right. So
who are we attributing this to?
Pete Dewar. Athletic trainer, graduated from Purdue.
Yeah.
I said, is an oblique injury similar to a hamstring injury in the sense that it can be nagging? He said, yes, there is so much rotation in the sport.
Yes.
And then I said, how long would an oblique injury have you out for? He said, it depends on severity. Bad ones would be a few months, though. Lighter ones would be a couple weeks. And then he goes to this about colic.
By the way, my next career, I'm going to be a trainer.
Guessing about injuries. Yeah. The sad thing is that you literally could have, basically, this is the word way of saying I blindfolded myself and I just threw this thing up in the air.
Not true.
And you were right. Like, you totally guessed. You didn't
I've
know.
Had some hammy injuries in my life.
That doesn't mean you know anything about oblique injuries. A hammy is nagging, but you never had an oblique.
I know. I just figured I'm smart enough to understand what an oblique really is. Like just looking inside, you know, the body and just thinking about it and really, really honing in on what an oblique is all about. And I hit a home run there. I did.
Well, pat yourself on the back. Your medical expertise of guessing really came through here on this time.
It's better than my prognostications preseason. That's for damn
no
sure.
No kidding. God, right? I should need to look back at the team you drafted.
No. Don't look at that. Please.
It's a tragedy. I mean, my team might win by 70 points.
While you're on the golf course, I'll take a look. I'll break it all down with somebody else on here, okay? Because
eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Two-minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. It's flexible for your schedule. Get as much as or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. Sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/F6850 and use code F6850 to get 50% off. That's code F6850 at factormeals.com/F6850 to get 50% off.
What else? What else you want to talk about? You know what I want to talk about before we go? Here's what I want to talk about. What the hell is going on with Illinois' defense?
I don't know, dude.
What do you mean?
I mean, they were like top 20 or 30, I feel like, in January, like at the start of January.
Bad now.
And then they got Shannon back. And since then, they're the best offense in college basketball, but they're also like the worst defense, too. which doesn't really mean, I mean, Shannon is a really good on-ball defender.
He was elite. He was elite.
I watched the Wisconsin game, and it was funny to just kind of see how the two teams ping-ponged of not being able to contain the bounce. You know, just, I mean, crazy dribble drives right by guys and no rotation over. I don't know. They suck at defense.
Is it just effort, in your opinion, watching that game?
I think it's effort. I think it's guys not being sound with the scouting report, not having an understanding for what they're really trying to do. I mean, look at these numbers that they've given up here. 88 points to Michigan State in a loss away. Michigan, they're bad. They scored 68. Bad. Maryland gave them 80, and that was a win for Illinois. Penn State goes for 90, and it was like, you know, 10. It was a 14-2 run in the last minute and a half.
Yeah.
Iowa gave them 85. Illinois won that game. Minnesota scored 97 points. I saw a stat where
Minnesota.
It was like a stat of no team has gone. I think it's Minnesota was 70% from three, 14 of 20. They turned it over five times. They averaged 1.47 points per possession. And in a game, they had like 300,000 games, and no team that had ever had those numbers had ever lost. It was something like that, something absurd. And then Wisconsin scored 83. But Illinois' offense could score. You know, they just DeMasse today or yesterday was unbelievable. Good. He is so good. He's a beast.
He's gotten like way better. I think when Shannon was out too, it forced him to have to do even more, and he showed he could do it. Like, I think his confidence, that Garden game, that Madison Square Garden game where he scored 30, whatever it was. I remember saying after that, I was like, all right, well, he's not going to score 30 again. And he scored 30 twice.
He's done it a couple times, and he's got like 6 or 7 20-point games in Big Ten play.
Rob, he's been awesome. Yeah. He's really been awesome. I mean, like, and again, that's the hard part. Is like, I think he's a plus defender. I think he is. I think Hawkins certainly is.
Wait, you think Damascus?
Well, maybe average.
I don't think he's average. A plus defender.
Okay, well, he's not. I don't think he's a liability defensively, because I think positionally.
I think I've seen teams
go at him.
Go at him and Goody.
They've tried to
get that matchup, and they've gone right at him. I'm trying to find this tweet of the Minnesota. It was like an astronomical number of games that they went through.
So can they get it back? Like,
I don't think so. They are gonna have to outscore people.
Man. I mean, they're fun.
They're fun. They can score.
They're fun to watch. I mean, we got a lot of those teams this year, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't you feel like we got a bunch of these teams? The Kentuckys, Creighton. Creighton can defend now a little bit, but
lumping them in with those other two. I mean, Illinois is now in the hundreds of defensive efficiency.
That's crazy.
They're 103rd.
It's just so you don't see that very often, right? A team that's really good for the most part for the first half of the year has the personnel. And they're not young. Rob, they're not young. That's the other part. Like, Kentucky's got an excuse. They're young. I wonder what the hell. I mean, again, it coincided a little bit, obviously, with Shannon stepping away from the team.
Right?
When he came back, they just weren't the same. I just don't get it. And I especially don't get it with Brad Underwood as your head coach. That's kind of baffling.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to me how they've changed though defensively. You think about when he first got that job, they were crazy pressure, super up the line, trying to turn you over a bunch, gambling, and that went away. And he's now they don't look to turn you over at all. I mean, they are content to just kind of
stay in front,
be back, and you know. Brad's done that on offense too. I mean, he is not afraid to try stuff. You look at like from going running spread to running the kind of weave dribble handoffs for Ayo Dosunmu. They threw it into Kofi a lot. I mean, they've kind of been chameleons on offense too. He is willing to change.
So before we go, the final count this year right now, Purdue games is 17. Are we at right now?
It is.
And you have how many more?
Two.
So you're going to get to 19 plus the Big Ten tournament.
I won't have them at the Big Ten tournament. But I could have them in the NCAA tournament.
Why won't you have them in the Big Ten tournament?
Because they'll be in the morning.
Oh, you're the heavy hitter. You do the night.
No, I don't, not necessarily. I mean, I think that I'm doing the night session.
And they won't be in?
They'll never play at night.
No. Well, you don't do the because the finals on
the semis and the finals are on CBS.
Right. One day. Yeah, I think you can aspire to do the Big Ten semis and finals.
Maybe.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate everybody jumping on, joining us again, Goodman Hummel podcast. It was nice that you were able to get around in today. I'm sure that made your day. You've been smiling this whole episode. I wonder if you're going to get some other days before the Final Four hits.
I mean, it was an incredibly warm day in Chicago. It was like 70 degrees today.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you could do that. And now take care of the cat.
Monty.
Monty was over here.
He was looming in the room.
I feel bad for Monty, because here's my problem with Monty. All right, you work for like 5 months of the year, and you completely ignore him because you're on the road the whole time. Completely ignore poor Monty.
I get to FaceTime with Mont,
and then you get home, and all you do is play golf. So you ignore him when you're home. I mean, you are the worst father to Monty.
Monty has an unbelievable mother who loves him more than any cat has ever been loved.
Really?
So he's good.
She pampers him? Logan totally pampers him?
Yes. Logan does pamper Monty. Good. And she could attest to this too. She would say that she does.
What is the most embarrassing thing Logan has bought for Monty?
All right, this kind of happened out of necessity.
Okay.
But he had to go with us. Monty has been to the Virgin Islands. It's definitely the most embarrassing thing.
What?
He's been to the Virgin Islands. We were going on this trip, and Monty was like a very last second addition to this household.
Okay.
Because she was walking down the street and just saw this guy holding a kitten.
Oh, really?
And she's like, oh my God, she loves cats. So she's like, oh my God, can I hold him? He was like, yeah, I'm fostering this cat. And literally I got the text. I'm like, this cat's getting adopted. So she brought him home, and we were going on this trip, and there was really nobody that could watch him. So he was like young. I mean, he was a young kitten, and he made the voyage to the Virgin Islands. So
did you have to get like shots and certain things, right? To be able to bring him.
No, it's the U.S. That's like going to Nebraska or Florida. You know, right. It's nothing different. But yeah, so he's been on a plane and a boat, and he's been in St. John's.
Man.
But cats,
the life of Monty.
It's less to travel for a cat than it is for a person, but it's, you know.
The life of Monty, you know?
Yeah.
So spoiled. So spoiled. Other than the love that he doesn't get from you.
That's not true. Monty
yearns for. Monty yearns for just the love, and look at you. I'm going to let you go just so you can go and pat or whatever you do to cats to Monty.
Thanks.
Goodman and Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.